Russell Baxter joins us here on The Fan. How you been, Russell?
I've been terrific. Long time no talk, Jody.
Yes, you and I talked on the network earlier this week, but the New York listeners did not get the pleasure of hearing your football insights. Appreciate your sharing with them today.
Absolutely.
From the column of, I didn't plan on asking you this, but for show continuity's sake, who is a better quarterback? Full career, knowing full well one of them hasn't quite finished yet, but assuming he's not going to have a reincarnation and all of a sudden find the fountain of youth, who is the better NFL quarterback, Phil Simms or Eli Manning?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah, it is.
It's a great question because I look at their careers as going, unfolding oppositely, if oppositely is a word.
Yeah, sure.
Phil was a guy who slowly but surely endeared himself to the fans and the team, but also got better as a player as time wore on. You know, that 1986 season was more than just being 22 of 25 in the Super Bowl. It was a season full of comebacks against the 49ers and the Bobby Johnson pass against the Vikings and countless other moments. And, of course, Phil had the team rolling in 1990. Before getting hurt, and then it was Jeff Hostetler in the Super Bowl. Eli kind of thrust into the limelight with seven games to go in his rookie year. He turned out to be more resilient, certainly up there among the all-time leaders in terms of touchdown passes and passing yards. If you had to pin me down, I would say Phil Simms.
Okay. Is Phil Simms a Hall of Famer?
I think that's it might be a tough call. And to me, and this is going to be odd, because to me, at least my criteria for the Hall of Fame, is longevity combined with excellence. So I don't think Phil necessarily had the greatest longevity, because early in his career, he wasn't necessarily always the starter. I know people like to, with the quarterbacks, point to just Super Bowl titles. And, you know, Phil was Super Bowl MVP. Eli's been Super Bowl MVP twice. Again, if you had to pin me down, I'm not a voter, and it's someday I hope to be one of these days. But I would say no.
And you don't think Eli's a Hall of Famer either?
See, Eli's book isn't closed yet. And I say it for this reason.
Fair enough. So I'm going to cut you off the pass. As of right now, his career were to end, would Eli Manning be good enough to be considered Hall of Famer by you?
I think he'd be good enough to be considered. I think he'd be on ballots. I don't think he's certainly a surefire. I know he's been Super Bowl champion twice, Super Bowl MVP twice. Again, up there in terms of touchdown passes and so on, passing yards and so on. A lot of turnovers, a lot of mistakes, and I know people will throw out the old school quarterbacks, but it was a different game then. I would say no right now because I think the door is not closed on his career. And I say that because if he does go elsewhere next year and turns out and turns things around for himself and is in a different system and somewhere where he's once again productive, I think that changes things dramatically for him in terms of his legacy.
Completely agree. You and I are on the exact same page. Simms, slight nod over Eli for their career, and both, while very close, and I like you, I hope someday you have an NFL Hall of Fame vote. I never will, but I've got a platform. It's called The Show, and I'm allowed to voice my opinion on it.
Absolutely.
I think they're both just short. I think they're both close. There are guys that get in the Hall of Fame, and I really have a strong opinion and go, what the hell are the voters thinking? This guy, no way, is a Hall of Fame. If either Eli or Simms were to make it, you wouldn't hear me beef about it or get nuts about it. I'd say, okay, I don't know that I would have voted him in, but more power to him. Congratulations to both gentlemen on their enshrinement. I think they're that close, but I would say no to both. So you and I are on the same page there.
And I like what you said there, Jody, because so many times I hear fans and even our media brethren almost get, lack of a better word, almost annoyed or angry that a guy gets in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If he's in, he's in. You might not agree with it, but it's an incredibly special moment for him to even be considered. And I've been to Canton about 28, 29 times. I'll be there again this August. It's something I talked about when the Terrell Owens thing happened this year. I understand what T.O. did, and he's his own man. He can do what he wants. But it's a special experience for you and your family.
I would tend to agree. Russell Baxter here with us on The Fan. All right, Russell, Drew Brees lock up the MVP award with his performance on Thursday night, or still to be determined?
I mean, there's still a long way to go, but he's such a front runner. And I know a lot of people are throwing out the name Patrick Mahomes. If I was going to vote, to me, Drew Brees would be the MVP. I think Patrick Mahomes would be the offensive player of the year. And I still think that. And it has nothing to do with the five turnovers from the other night. I look at what Drew Brees has done in commanding that team. Early on in the season, their defense wasn't playing the way it's playing now. Now they're playing more as a complete football team. And, you know, winners of 10 games in a row. You remember when they gave up 35 points to the Rams in the game they won? Well, they've given up 38 cents in the three games they've won. So they're starting to do it, and some of that has to do with not only the defense playing better, but them implementing the running game. I mean, they scored 31 points the other night. He threw for 171 yards, and so funny. He threw four touchdown passes to four undrafted players.
Right. That tells you all about the Saints. They're winning as a team. Brees is the MVP. But, oh, by the way, their general manager and their coach doing a hell of a job as well. You and I are once again on the same page there. Let me again follow up conversations I've had on the show earlier today. For the sake of this conversation, purpose of this conversation, I'm going to make your last name Johnson, okay? As in those who owned a big company and billionaires and, oh, by the way, own the New York Jets. So whatever Johnson you are that's in charge of the New York Jets, and it changes depending on political appointments and the like, you're the now guy in charge, and you have a decision to make at the end of this season. Do you tell Todd Bowles his services are no longer needed and keep Mike Maccagnan? Do you keep Mike Maccagnan and say, sorry, Todd, we don't need you anymore? Or do you keep them both and say, let's give this one more try? I'm leaving out the possibility of Maccagnan gets fired and Bowles is kept. I really don't see that. I guess you can go there if you want. Mr. Johnson, how are you handling these two big positions for the Jets during this offseason?
Well, first, I would reduce all the prices on baby products across the country to help out the parents.
Okay.
Does that work?
Hey, you're in charge.
I keep them both because I think the biggest mistake that gets made around the NFL and sports in general is, and I know they've been there 4 years now, okay, but the consistent changing of head coaches and the lack of continuity is what gets teams in trouble more than anything else. If you think you've finally got the vital piece in Sam Darnold, and have also added some decent pieces all along, then I think you just take a closer look at what this team can be. And I'm just not in favor of, and I don't even know if I'm answering your question. I will say this. I would not separate the two. If you keep Maccagnan, you keep Bowles. If you let go of Maccagnan, you let go of Bowles, okay? Because you have to start anew. If you're going to start anew, you start totally anew, okay? You can't do one or the other. And people will say, well, you know, what about the Browns and all that stuff? The John Dorsey situation with Hugh Jackson is totally different. You know, John Dorsey came in there in December last year, late in the year, and so on. So that's a totally different decision. By the way, if they don't keep Greg Williams, the Browns will have their 11th different head coach since 1999 next year. So tell me how that's working out for that franchise. Even though, look at their draft this year, they look like they got three really stud players in there. But my tendency would be to keep them both, but at no one time would I even think of separating them. I think they're a package deal.
All right. Finally, we disagree because I'm keeping Maccagnan and letting Bowles go. But we agreed on everything else up until this point. All right, which is cool. All right, Russell, because we had the three games early on Thursday and a couple teams still getting in the bye, last week we'll have to deal with byes and the like. Which of tomorrow's and or Monday night's game, what's the top must-watch game for Russell Baxter?
Well, you know, we have our share of divisional games tomorrow. I will say that. And I think those are always intriguing and always important. I think the one game that intrigues me the most, now, Green Bay, Minnesota is obviously very important. And, you know, it might be for the Packers, I don't want to say last gasp, okay? But if they could, here's the thing I'll say about Green Bay. If they can beat the Vikings, and they've already beaten the Bears, that certainly puts them right back in contention to win the NFC North. And I don't care what they win it by, but the opportunity with all these divisional games left is very vital. That being said, I think the game I'm looking forward to as much as anything is Seattle at Carolina. The Seahawks have certainly played better, okay? They have played a lot better as of late. They're running the ball. The Panthers, their defense has shown some vulnerability, and I'm not just talking about what happened to them in Pittsburgh. There have been times this year where we have seen them look very ordinary, and that's despite a pretty balanced attack. You know, they're a top 10, they're seventh in the league in rushing, but defensively, you know, they got Keekly and they've got Kawan Short and they've got Thomas Davis and some better players in the secondary. And the Panthers just don't scare you on defense as they had in previous seasons. So I think it's a very intriguing game. Seattle's proven that their game plan has become very, very portable. And, you know, talk about heartbreaking. And this was, remember, this was the Seattle team that a lot of people just thought was in rebuilding mode. Can you imagine how much Pete Carroll is kicking himself knowing that twice this year his team scored 31 points on the Rams and lost both games?
True, but the Rams are that good. You need to score more than 31 points if you're going to beat the Rams.
33-31, yeah, 33-31 and 36-31. Okay, I mean, that'll cause some sleepless nights, sir.
True. They're a changing team. They're an evolving team. The Legion of Boom is gone, and that's how they gave up 30-plus points twice to the Rams. But I agree with you that they are changing and starting something anew, which could be exciting. Russell, great stuff as always. I know I was planning on asking a bunch of different questions, but we followed up some good, fun conversations we were having to this. You added to it, my friend. As always, a pleasure. Thanks.
Any football talk and any sports talk with you is good talk. I'll just say that.
Russell Baxter from ProFootballGuru.com and follow him on Twitter at BaxFootballGuru. Jody Mack hanging with you here on The Fan. I got an hour and 20 minutes to play. Sweeney next hour on some Yankee stuff. Your calls to finish out this hour.